You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Tasting Tables 2013 Lobster Roll Rumble. If you like lobster and live anywhere near New York, you don't want to miss Tasting Tables 2013 Lobster Roll Rumble. This is a special recording in anticipation of the event, which goes down June 6, 2013. The event takes place at the Metropolitan Pavilion at 125 West 18th Street in New York City. Tickets can be purchased starting March 20th at tastingtable.com/rumble2013. You think you've had good lobster rolls, but you have no idea.
This is Leah Eden with HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm on the line today with Luke Holden of Luke's Lobster, which has several locations here in New York and in the D.C. area. Luke is also one of the contestants in this summer's Lobster Roll Rumble. Welcome. Glad to have you on the line today.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So Luke, before you opened Luke's Lobster back in 2009, you knew a thing or two about lobster, right?
I certainly did, yeah. I grew up in a fishing family in a small town on the coast of Maine. My father was a lobsterman and then became a lobster dealer, got into the lobster processing business, and over 15, 25 years grew one of the biggest seafood companies in New England. So I had that in my blood. When I was very young, I got to work on the wharfs. I spent a couple of days working on the Hannah Bowden, if you might remember that boat from Perfect Storm. And and eventually kind of evolved into wanting to fish on my own. So I ended up building an 18-foot cabin skiff. And through a couple of summers of apprenticeships and learning how to fish as a sternman, ended up working on my own boat and fishing my own traps for two or three summers. And it wasn't until my sophomore year of college that my folks said that they were going to stop helping me go to college unless I got a real internship. And that's when I started doing finance work. So if it wasn't from the forceful hand of my parents, I probably would still be on a boat somewhere up in Maine.
Oh, wow. So how old were you when you started going out on the boats?
Well, as a sternman, I was in, it was my freshman year of high school. And then, before that, it was mostly working in my dad's plants and then just, on the wharfs, a few times going out on some of his friends' boats, but not in any type of significant commercial capacity until like my freshman year of high school.
Okay. And what attracted you to that lifestyle, being a lobsterman, being out there on the water?
Well, it is about being out in the water for me. I mean, I absolutely love I love the ocean. I love the commercial fishing atmosphere. I mean, I was down in New Bedford earlier this week, and that is still a very vibrant fishing community, and that just excites me. I mean, being out there harvesting, whether you're pulling up a trap or a net, and not knowing what's going to be from that haul, is the excitement behind that, and the excitement about doing it responsibly from a sustainable aspect is just for me, it's invigorating, and I hopefully someday retirement can kind of push me back in that direction.
Okay, so Luke, can you kind of give us a little bit of an idea of when you were out, when you were lobstering, kind of what was a typical day like? You know, what time did you get up? What were some of the first kind of things you did all the way to the end of the day? Give us a little snapshot.
Sure. When I was a sternman, it started at 4:30 in the morning, and that was a sharp time. If I wasn't there, I missed the day. We'd go into Portland Harbor, get our bait, and then from there we'd get back out to the mooring in Cape Elizabeth, and we'd be steaming by 5. And we actually, depending on the time of year, we'd fish pretty close to shore. So we'd either be right on the traps, or if it was later in the fall, we'd have, or really early in the spring, we'd have a couple of maybe 30-60 minutes to get out to the traps. And that's when it would start. It was an early morning. It was a long day. The boat that I was on was a 40-foot boat that had an automatic hauler, and the way it would work is you'd steam up your buoy, you'd grab it, haul it up, and we would fish triples between two lighthouses in Zone G in Maine. You could only fish triples unless you're out in federal waters, which is beyond 2 miles out to sea. So you would grab one buoy, there'd be three traps attached to that one buoy. My role as a sturman was just to clean the traps. So trap would come up, I'd pull the lobsters out, band them, bait the trap, pull all the bycatch, release that back into the ocean, and then position the traps such that when you pushed, when the captain was ready to push one off, since they were all connected, gravity would pull the next two off. Or if we were outside of Zone G, then we would fish strings where we would have as many as 20 traps connected onto one buoy. More traps you have connected onto one buoy, the quicker and more efficiently you can fish. So as a sternman, it was just about doing the grunt work, but that was necessary for me. I did that for, I guess, 2.5 years to learn how to safely and also effectively fish, because it's not like you just go out and drop a trap overboard and it comes up with lobsters. It's a skill that you have to learn and acquire over some time, I think.
Right. And do most lobstermen like learn just through experience by starting like you did at a young age, or what's kind of the education process around that that type of work?
Yeah, certainly. So part of Maine's sustainability practices is that it's a closed fishery. So you can't just wake up and decide that you want to go be a lobsterman. You actually have to apply for a license. And so there is a significant apprenticeship program where you have to go out and fish so many fishing days and have so many offshore working days learning how to take care of the gear. And then there's also a time frame. So you need to fulfill those three different requirements. You need to be recommended by a fisherman. And then once you actually have all of the requirements, then you go into a waiting list. And that waiting list is short or long, depending on which zone you're applying for. There's probably, I don't know, maybe 15 zones up and down the coast. And depending on how saturated each zone is, it requires maybe, like in Zone G where I fished, I believe that like four fishermen had to retire before they issued one new license.
Hmm.
So it is absolutely a process, and that keeps from the fishery being overfished, overworked, and then it also keeps skilled, safe fishermen out there harvesting the lobster.
Right, right. And I know especially in Maine, they are very sort of diligent about making sure that the waters aren't overfished. Can you give us a sense of how much lobster we're talking about? Like, how long is a typical lobster season in Maine? And kind of on a daily basis, like, what are the numbers we're talking about? What would be a typical haul for you each day?
Yep. So the Maine fishery is what they predominantly catch are the shedders. So when a shedder is synonymous with new shell, soft shell, shedder. When a lobster sheds or molts, it becomes hungry, and that's when it crawls and typically finds its way in a trap. And that season starts, last year it started very, very early, as early as May. Typically it starts in July, and it'll go all the way through December. Depending on how thick you are into the shedders, you could harvest anywhere between like a really good average pound per trap of keepers is about 2 pounds a trap. But if you're really thick into the shedders, you know, some guys might get average maybe as high as like 4 pounds a trap. And the limit is such that nobody can fish more than 800 traps. So guys could go out and conceivably catch more than 1,000 pounds of lobster in a day if they're very good. The entire fishery last year was north of 120 million pounds, and that was by far the biggest. I believe that was the biggest annual catch ever recorded, and a lot of that has to do with all of the sustainability measures that the state has imposed, and we're seeing those help revive and bring the fishery to stronger catches each and every year.
Right? Huh. Very interesting. Well, so Luke, you had mentioned that you built your own boat when you were out there on the waters.
I did, yeah. In woodworking class in high school, I I was certainly one of those kids that spent a lot more time in shop class than math or English class, I suppose.
Right. Well, I guess you built more than a napkin holder.
Yeah, it was fortunate to have to be afforded to have that opportunity. We had a great teacher, and we there was two or three prerequisite courses, and then you would kind of go through this book, pick which Glen L. Marine plans you wanted to work from, and it was just a full year long course of 3 or 4 days a week building a boat, and I picked a pretty lofty project, so it didn't quite get done in that 1 year. So I stayed that summer and finished it, and it was ready to fish out of, and it was pretty cool because I ended up building a second one in a much shorter period of time. That was just a flat bottom skiff, and once we had those two boats in the water, my youngest brother ended up being my sternman for a couple of summers. So that was a very neat time.
Right, so you brought the family back into the fold. Nice.
Yeah.
So then what brought you from Maine to New York?
So when my parents kind of steered me out of the fishing business, I jumped into finance and started doing internships at UBS. I was a sophomore at Georgetown University in D.C. at the time, and we had an undeclared major, and took an interest in finance. So I ended up graduating a double major in finance and management, and kind of followed what a lot of my friends were doing and jumped into investment banking in the city. So I had done that for over 3 years before I started the restaurant group, and it wasn't really something that I was overly excited about doing, but it was a place where I felt like I could work hard, learn on someone else's dime, and afford me the time to kind of figure out what I wanted to do in life, and it was a great opportunity and something that, you know, certainly I really appreciated, but not somewhere where I was going to spend a significant period of my life.
Right. And so coming from Maine, what did you think of our New York lobster rolls?
The question behind the business plan was, why are these people screwing this up so bad? You know, couldn't find a lobster roll anywhere in the city that was south of $30 and served over a white tablecloth environment, and I just didn't get it. So started to put together a variety of questions around that main thesis, and just realized that I didn't really think people had. There was all these fantastic chefs that would add their interpretation of what a Maine lobster roll was, and for me that just didn't make sense. I mean, people travel to Maine each and every summer to get what is custom to Maine, and all I wanted to do was bring that high-quality product that I knew and loved to New York in a very affordable, fast, casual environment, and that was the underpinning of the business that has been a success today.
Right. And are there specific communities or parts of Maine that you work with specifically?
Well, we buy lobsters all up and down the coast. We spend most of our time certainly in southern Maine, because that's my parents are from Cape Elizabeth, and our processing plant is in Saco in southern Maine. So, but certainly those lobsters at this point are coming from really as north as probably Millbridge and as south as Kittery.
Right, and I mean you talk about people kind of making that. You know, making that pilgrimage to Maine every summer to have lobster there and, you know, be in that environment. What do you think it is about the Maine waters or the community or the environment that creates such delicious lobsters that makes it so iconic to that region?
Well, I mean, take like the Georgetown Co-op, for example. Georgetown is it's one of the fingers of Maine that hangs down just north of Brunswick. And the fishermen have a co-op there and a big dock that's got a lobster shack out on it. And the fishermen come up, they drop their product off on the dock, and they'll steam a lobster for you right there. They steam the lobsters and then turn them into lobster rolls. They sell their fresh fish and will make a fried fish sandwich. And you literally sit on a picnic table overlooking overlooking islands and a beautiful ocean front, and you get fresh catch right there. And I mean, that is, nothing gets better than that. It is such a neat experience, and so much of eating is atmosphere and with your eyes, and it just makes for an experience that we're trying to replicate and trying to get as close to as we can as possible. But I would still just encourage people to go experience that, because it's just a really neat feeling, and food's almost always delicious, and it's what keeps people coming back to Maine, certainly each and every summer.
Right. So how do you try to translate that atmosphere, that feeling, to your restaurants, besides the lobster themselves?
Certainly by offering a similar quality product. And we definitely, without question, we can improve and emulate the same quality that you're going to get right there and then on the docks. And but then also, it's also about the experience where you're going up to a window of sorts. You're ordering your food. You're getting it back quickly. You're getting it at a great price, and you're tasting the seafood. It's not a mayo-y drawn product. It's not a it's pure unadulterated meat, and that is what people are accustomed to getting when you're up and down the coast of Maine. It's a New England tops-split bun with quarter pound of fresh meat and a little bit of seasoning, a little bit of butter, a little bit of mayo, just to bring out the accents of the fresh seafood, but not something that's drawn in these fillers to dilute the value and quality of the product to make it, you know, better from a food cost standpoint.
Right. Okay. So here in New York this summer, you're going to be competing against other chefs for the title of the best lobster roll. Now, Luke, you have competed in the Lobster Roll Rumble before and done pretty well, right?
Yep. This will be the fourth annual competition. We won the first 2 years, and last year we were in the top three, and we're hoping this year to reclaim the crown.
To bring it back home. Understood.
Yeah. Yep.
So did you bring the same lobster roll those first 2 years, or kind of what's your plan for year four?
Nothing changes for us. I mean, we're the same product that you'll get in the stores, you'll get at the Rumble. You know, each and every day we pride ourselves on doing the very best and the exact same thing. So it is no different. I think people just wanted to root for an underdog last year. The good thing, though, was it was some of our friends from Kennebunk, Kennebunk, Maine. So it was a true Mainer that won the overall competition. So we were okay with that.
But you're ready to reclaim your title this year, okay? And so you've been there for a couple of years. For people who haven't been to the Lobster Roll Rumble, tell us a little bit about what's the energy like? What's the event like? What's it like for you to be there serving roll after roll after roll?
I mean, it's wildly exciting. You walk in and it's an emotional rush. The venue is always overdone. It's beautiful. You've got it keeps getting bigger, so I don't even know how many competitors are going to be there this year, but probably north of 20. So
a whole bunch.
Yeah, so you've got a full plate in front of you, and it's like you got to look at who's there, and you got to come up with a plan of attack to sample everybody. They've got great drinks as well. It's fun music, fun atmosphere, good people. Just makes for like a really enjoyable atmosphere. I mean, we always lobby for as many bracelets as possible, so we can bring as many people as we can, because it's always fun to get behind the booth and to interact with customers and make a lot of rolls really quickly, but then also to get out and try everybody else's food and interact with the crowd and give high fives, because it's just it's a really, really fun night.
Great, awesome. Well, you've got an exciting year number four. I wish you all the best. Luke, thank you so much for giving us a little lowdown on your Lobster Roll entry for the Tasting Tables 2013 Lobster Roll Rumble. This has been Leah Eden with HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and I've been speaking with Luke Holden, the owner of Luke's Lobster here in New York as well as D.C. They'll be competing in this summer's Lobster Roll Rumble. Heritage Radio Network will be there. Tickets are now on sale. Go get one for yourself.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.